You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 27 November. Today in 2000, the JSE listed the first ever ETF on the exchange, Satrix 40. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Sean Dendery. Tiger Brands, I have seldom seen a turnaround come so quick, so fast, so efficient, and a chunky special dividend. And then for Keyleb, the results are good, but the stock looks, I mean, it's trading at NAV. Maybe it's fully priced. We are seeing that in some of the listed REITs. Andy Ridge from ShopRite, record Black Friday weekend ahead of the actual Black Friday, which is tomorrow. I want to get some details. What were they selling? How did they cope with those spikes on events such as Black Friday? And then Albert Osterhazen from Net99. Broadband access, hugely important to South Africa's growth. We have mobile data, but it's expensive. We need fiber. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Trump bars SA from US G20 in 2026, says he will stop all US payments and subsidies to Africa's biggest economy. Business Day, UK Rachel Reeves unveils 26 billion tax hike, workers investors to cough up as Chancellor of the Exchequer focuses on meeting borrowing targets. Morning markets. The US was green, 0.7% up. NASDAQ 0.9% up. It is closed tonight for Thanksgiving. Over in the East, it is mixed. We got Sydney down 0.25%. Tokyo up just over 1.25%. Hong Kong, just a couple of points in the green. And Tencent down a little over 4%. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures is the only red, 4,180. Brent is 62.83. Platinum, 1,626. And palladium, 1,462. The rand is 17.14. Bitcoin is 91,100. And top 40 opening call, green open, 190 points, little under 0.2%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Sean Dendery. Sean, appreciate the early morning. Tiger Brand, I said there in the intro, I mean, there was expectations of a turnaround. It really has, to my sense, it seldom is a turnaround quite so quick, quite so effective. We're getting special dividends left, right and center. It's been an amazing story, and those were very strong results yesterday.
100%, Simon. I think Tiger Brands has come a long road. We remember with the Listeriosis crisis, and some of their brands outside of South Africa. And I think post that, really, they have managed to essentially rebrand. They got a new leadership on that front, rebrand and focus inwards basically on, you know, the things that they are doing in South Africa from a cost management perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's actually seeing it grow. Strongly. And what's interesting for me is that it's not just growing purely on easing inflation, but actually if you see that on their numbers, their volumes in terms of their food traffic, in terms of their products are actually genuinely improving, showing that there's actually an underlying demand of their actual product, which is seeping into their numbers as we see.
It has been. I mean, and I take your point. I mean, some of it, you know, obviously, lower input costs helps, but there's more to it than that. The challenge is that, I mean, the stock to me is probably looking fairly priced. I mean, not to say it can't go higher, but I mean, and I hate the phrase easy money, but that really has, so that bus is gone.
Yeah, I think that bus is gone. The stock is at fair value, in my opinion, as well.
Vukile, we expect good results for them. A lot of township and rural malls locally. The Spain operations, which do very well for them as well. A good set of numbers from them as well.
100%. I think the numbers are brilliant. And I also think it's the times, some of the times, I would want to call it a green shoot in an economic turnaround. Mm-hmm. If we look at, you know, the occupancy rate is basically at its lowest at 1.8%, meaning that, you know, the business is booming. And they're not just booming in Spain and Portugal. As you mentioned, locally, they have managed to actually grow by basically proactive cost management. Mm-hmm. The electricity crisis has also really helped them, in addition to them pushing green energy, solar. And so on and so forth. So that's really helping their portfolio value increase slowly but surely. So they are doing quite well on that front.
Yeah, and here's a stock that is up almost 10x since the pandemic lows, which is astounding. But again, another one, and we're seeing with some of the REITs, the massive discount to net asset value has narrowed. In the case of Vukile, it's basically trading at that NAV. The dividend yield is 6%. The massive valuations of sort of a year ago where you could buy a discount to NAV and maybe high single, low double-digit yields, in a lot of the stocks, that has passed, and the obvious value in some of the REITs is now gone. Not to say they aren't good businesses, just the valuations are now becoming perhaps full.
100%. I mean, if we look at Vukile, when we speak about the dividend yield, I would say that, you know, their growth has already been priced in. Mm-hmm. I think shareholders and investors have been rushing to buy shares in the business, which is really affecting, you know, it from a dividend yield perspective. But operationally, if you look at it, if we look deeper, we note that, you know, it is actually in good hands. The business is actually operating quite solidly and effectively going forward.
Yeah, and this was a stock that at points has been around a 10% dividend yield. We'll leave it there. That's Sean Dundary, independent analyst. Appreciate the early morning time. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Andy Ridge, GM for Digital Commerce at the ShopRite Group. Andy, appreciate the time. Black Friday itself, of course, is Friday 28 this year. That'd be November, naturally. But you, the ShopRite, and 6060 in particular, already doing some promotions last weekend and setting records left, right, and center, it seems.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. For context, you're right. This was an early online-only Black Friday promotion for our 6060 customers, mm-hmm. which we held over 4 days last week. And to your point, you know, in summary, it was a great success for us. Yeah, you know, we had a fantastic 4 days of sales with some record numbers.
Do you have a sense of how many deliveries you did over the 4 days?
We don't disclose the actual daily deliveries, yeah, but I think some relevant data points. Our customer numbers were up 60% compared to the same time last year, which translated into our sales being 50% higher than our Black Friday campaign last year. And I think importantly for us, despite these record volumes, in fact, we did do a record number of deliveries on Saturday last week. Mm-hmm. We managed to deliver more than 95% of our orders on time. And our average delivery time was just 33 minutes. So it was a super successful campaign for us.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, because it's one thing to break records, but it's then to keep the second part of the 60 promise, which is that 60-minute delivery. My sense is, and I want to drill into what some of the top sellers were, but I chatted with your CEO, Peter Engelbrecht, around results a month before lost. And he's talking around, we're actually seeing things cheaper. And that is part of it's going to be the Black Friday specials. But part of it is just, you know, some things are down in price. It's about price. But for 6060, it's also about that convenience and that trust of delivery time.
Yeah, and I think that's where much of the magic lies. You know, it's one thing to be able to offer good prices, but, you know, many people offer good prices, particularly at the back end of November in mm-hmm. Black Friday season. It's an entirely different thing to deliver this type of Black Friday demand at any sort of scale within 60 minutes. And I think that's where really one of our big differentiators is that we plan very, and we've got quite advanced systems that help us balance the demand that mm-hmm. we expect to receive with our ability to service that demand. And in doing so, we understand exactly how long it takes to pick an order. And so we know exactly how many pickers we need to pick every order in every mm-hmm. store. We also know by different geographic area how long it takes to deliver an order. And so we can keep in balance at all times the demand that we're getting from customers with our ability to pick and deliver that demand within 60 minutes. And that's what enables us to keep these 95% plus service levels.
That in some sense is that secret sauce. I mean, there's many there, but it's that scalability, both on the up and I suppose on the down. I mean, there are going to be quiet periods where you can, I suppose, dial it down. And it is the ability to turn it on and off in a sense.
Yeah, we're quite lucky. We are not like a pure play general merchandise business, mm-hmm. nor like a food delivery business where you've got very significant peaks and troughs either within the day or within the month.
Yeah,
I mean, typically groceries, people need to eat and people need to eat throughout the day and throughout the month. So, of course, we do see more demand over payday at month end. But we are quite lucky in the sense that we don't have these significant peaks and valleys, which make it very difficult to manage.
Okay,
so yes, it is quite a big thing for us to manage the increase in demand over month end and over these types of promotions. But it's not, we are lucky in the sense then that we don't need to significantly scale down in the mm-hmm. middle of the month, you know, given that we play in the grocery space primarily.
Now, that's a good point. I'm one of those, some people do monthly grocery shops, but I think that perhaps is a maybe a bit of a bygone era more than anything. What were some of the top selling items? I mean, obviously a lot of it groceries, but of course you're doing big ticket items as well these days.
Yeah, so the promotion that we ran last week was primarily centered around groceries. Mm-hmm. We do have another promotion coming for this, you know, this main Black Friday, mm-hmm. as you say, where we'll be selling more of our big ticket general merchandise items. As long as we now play in the pet space, so we'll be selling pet items on deal. And as you know, we've opened up some ShopRite 60/60 locations yeah. as well. So that'll also be coming on deal in the upcoming weekend. If we look back at last week's campaign, I think it'll come as no surprise to you that, you know, the stuff that people bought were your typical grocery and, you know, pantry, you know, fillers, typically bulk items that were on great deal. So our best sellers were, you know, big blocks of cheese, yeah. coffee, slabs of chocolate, that kind of thing is typical in the grocery space. Maybe one call out, I think, is into we sell bucket loads of chlorine. And so we sold a lot of HDH wow. chlorine. And, you know, I mean, we sold out on day one of the campaign of a 7,000 Rand robotic pool cleaner, you know, which was discounted from 14,000 Rand to 7,000 Rand. And so I think the bottom line is that when stuff is on deal, South Africans buy it, particularly at this time of year.
Yeah, I also suspect, and I absolutely do this, I need a big ticket item and I need it in September. I can wait 2 months. Let's see what those deals are. Do you get a sense of, are people coming for the deals in response to WhatsApps or emails that you've sent, or are some of them just sort of logging on in anticipation?
Simon, I think at this time of year, there's a lot of the latter. You know, I think everyone knows that basically from the 15th of November until the end of November, all the different retail offerings in South Africa are dropping with what seems to be earlier and earlier Black yeah. Friday deals. And I guess that was no different for us. So I think people are waiting to see what's out there. Mm-hmm. But notwithstanding that, there's a lot of noise in the marketing landscape. And so you need to generate your own noise yourself. And so whilst we didn't pre-hype our Black Friday at all, we did go after some quite strong marketing for the first 2 days that it landed. And we saw great response to that.
We'll leave it there. It's Andy Ridge, GM for Digital Commerce at the ShopRite Group. Appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you doing some Black Friday shopping this year? The deals I've seen so far have been a little underwhelming, but also there's nothing that I desperately need on my to-buy list. But how are you finding it? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Jenny and I with Albert Osterhazen, CEO of Net99. Albert, appreciate the early morning time. GDP growth, always, I think, front of mind for South Africans, largely because we lack a lot of it. But a recent stat that you shared in a note you put out is that if we increase internet penetration, it has a direct translation into economic growth. Access to the internet is more than just scrolling Twitters. It really is vital for an economy.
Morning, Simon. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Absolutely. So, yeah, I wish I had your energy this time of the morning.
But I want to take it a step further. I mean, the challenge in South Africa is that we have internet penetration, but it's mobile, which is fundamentally different from fiber. Mobile is cost. I sit at home on a fiber connection and it's uncapped, whereas when I'm out of the flat and out of the house, then suddenly it's the mobile internet. And that perhaps is the challenge we're facing in South Africa, is that whilst we have the penetration, it's not sort of fiber, it's not true internet penetration.
Yeah, Simon, so roughly like 70% of the country is connecting through mobile. And only about sort of like the rest of the country, so Western Cape's a little bit ahead. Western Cape sits at about 40% where they get internet at home through fixed internet. The rest of the country is roughly around like 7%. So that's fairly low penetration rates across the country. And what we've seen in you know, where people have fixed internet, the behavior changes substantially when they start getting access to uncapped internet. So generally, it increases quite exponentially. It goes from like a 10 gig sort of LTE package, if that's what they were using previously. It rockets up to 150 sort of gig in a month quite easily. So it's an exponential growth. It changes completely when they get access to it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't know what my gig usage is. I remember back in the day when I was, I think I was on 5 gig a month, and it was restrictive. Now I don't know. I just use it. You made a point in the note that you know this. I mean, you know, the energy crisis we had was an absolute disenabler for the economy. But and we kind of gathered around and solved it. We're perhaps not putting as much attention into sort of broadband rollout, getting fiber sort of past as many houses as possible, almost in a sense. I mean, I'm not saying it's a national crisis, but it's not getting level of focus perhaps from providers and certainly from government.
No, absolutely not, man. So I don't know of a single proper private partnership type of agreement with government where telecommunications being rolled out alongside with government. It's all being done through private currently. And it's going through the sort of evolution of fiber in South Africa, or the rollout of fiber in South Africa has been through sort of the low-hanging fruits. It started with the towers, connecting mobile towers.
Yeah.
And then businesses, then sort of your richer homes. And now it's gone through the middle-income home, and now it's towards the lower-income sort of areas. And it's all the players that are rolling out fiber in these areas are all private. There's been some initiatives by government where they've rolled out their own sort of initiatives in specific areas, and it's really largely not gone well. And there's been talks of some, you know, cooperation, but we haven't seen any of that in the market.
And there are things government could do. I mean, again, if we look to how they managed the energy crisis, I mean, there were incentives from SARS. There were, you know, public private partnerships and the like. I mean, in many ways, we kind of have a blueprint of how we could potentially do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of ways they could help or get involved. If you look to America had like a broadband subsidy that they used to that they used to give consumers, so that the consumers basically had the affordability, and that sort of increased the pool or the return of the capital the networks. Everyone's restricted by the same metrics. You roll out for a certain number. The cheaper you roll out for, the cheaper you can sell for. So we're all bound by that. So the one way they can do it is by like a subsidy to the consumer, which just increases affordability.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that's a massive hamper for or damper on rollout is backhaul. So we call it backhaul. It's basically long haul fiber from one town to the next, or from, you know, town to like a hub, to connect back to the data centers. So those are all currently owned by There's only like a few players that play there, but it's like OpenServe is your biggest one there. Telkom, and then like DFA, and then there's a few partnerships that we call it NLD, national long distance routes that are built in partnerships, but it's few and far between also. So generally, if you have to get to a town and it's a sort of a smaller town, you have to build the link there yourself, and that's a massive. So that drives up your cost. Your cost to the town is significantly higher. So to get the price to the consumer at a certain point, you're already under pressure. So those are all places where, the government can play a role.
Yeah, I get your point. I mean, there is, living in the heart of a large city, you've got your options. But when you sort of head out to the smaller rural towns, it's just not there. We'll leave it there. Zobert Oosthuizen, CEO, Net99. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We were chatting with Chantal Marx yesterday. We're talking Pepkor results. Strong results. Flash, really, really good. And it is increasing the number of credit customers. That didn't concern Chantal. She says, it's at 16%. And with falling rates, that's not necessarily a problem. We asked you, what did you think of the numbers? Almost half said, great results. Third said, worry about the consumer. The rest were, could do better. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Cull Group results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.